Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to be live here with Ellen Bensky of Turner Fleischer. And to tee this thing up, you may hear a little bit noise in the background because I'm looking out live at the exhibit hall. We're a huge shout out to Digital Built Week, where last night we had the speaker sponsor function and we were meeting about how we're coming back to live events. And it's such a joy. And we're going to talk about that here today. But it's been challenging, right? And so now we're kind of relearning what we unlearned. And we're going to talk about that to where I get to have this trifecta conversation that I'm calling it today. And why I'm calling it that is that some of the days can be long and the years are short. And shout out to Digital Build Week, where, you know, an event company that does their whole business model around live events that just got shut down overnight. What a challenge, but what a huge props to the team of pushing through for us to be here physically. So I wanted to make sure, and I've been hearing those as the presentation so far today, and I'll let Ellen talk a little bit more about that. But it's the trifecta podcast because Turner Fleischer, we're such huge fans here on The Art of Construction. And if you go back to show 159, and that was released September 25th of 2019, and you think about how much has changed that we're going to talk about here today, that was called A Dedicated Approach to R&D and Office Management. And there's some really cool stuff coming up about from that journey to where we are today that we're going to talk about. And then we had the pleasure of doing a deep dive series with Enscape, and they were one of the podcasts, show 174, titled Real-Time Rendering and Virtual Reality Series, where we talked about a collaborative design experience. And at that was really from the first time I got to hear Ellen and Steve and the team speak at Digital Built Week, and I was just blown away by the team that they've built. And then I got to meet Moritz Luck and the team of Enscape at that conference. And that was show 157, titled How a Video Game Became Architecture's Most Powerful New Tool. And I just got done having lunch with Moritz and Phil. With Moritz has now sold Enscape. And I'm sitting here looking at Autodesk and the Wild that just got acquired by Autodesk and all these companies getting set up at the exhibit hall around me. But the challenge I'm going to put out there back to show 137 was titled, Don't Go to College to Become an Architect. And that was with Phil Reed. And it was a play on words because Phil Reed actually coaches this stuff. And we're going to talk about that. And I'm actually facilitating a panel tomorrow that's titled Successful Investment Strategies for Employees and Entrepreneurs, where I get to have Alice Leung and team talking about how to invest in these businesses. But Tribe, I'm here to tell you, on the trifecta, the presentation that I just listened to Ellen was titled, Who is Responsible for Learning and Teaching, and How is it Accomplished? It's all of us together, but who steps up to do that? And I'm super excited to have you back, Ellen. What an honor to have you do that presentation and come back and speak with us here today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that from the R&D, a dedicated approach to office management is what we first discussed with Ellen and Steve. And so Turner Fleischer has now grown their firm by over 100 members since we last spoke. 100. And so this is a complete victory for the business philosophies and strategies that they adhere to, right? So if you think about what you put out there, and I kind of want this to be a kind of a celebratory conversation because it should be, right? And we need to do that. And that's what these conferences, and that's what I've been feeling is like community, right? And Greg Leung, who we just had on the podcast, he talked about that connections at the keynote this morning, right? And so how is this going to benefit us is that Turner Fleischer actively promotes a culture of thought leadership and continuous learning. We could all learn from them on how to grow our business and our employees in this age of digital disruption. And talk about digital disruption right now, right? And so let's explore how they've been so successful in growing their firm and the digital practice. And so today's conversation is about this, Tribe. Graduating can no longer be the proverbial line in the sand where formal learning ends and practical experience takes over. Examining industry amid a total disruption, the question must be asked. Who is responsible for teaching and learning after formal education ends? Ellen, what's your answer to that? And then we're going to get into the speed round if you didn't listen to the other shows.
Absolutely. Well, we at Turner Fleischer, we believe it's us.
All right.
We're definitely responsible.
So that's what we're going to unpack today. So Ellen, if they didn't listen to the other shows, we know they're going to put them up with the show notes and they'll go listen back. And we'll challenge you here if things have changed. But what's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage is still a Ketel One vodka martini with olives.
All right. And what's a favorite place you've traveled?
Favorite place that I've traveled is really anywhere where I can do something crazy outside. And I just got back from Zion Canyon in Utah and did some rappelling and some rock climbing. And that's my happy place.
Awesome. Give us one story from that.
Oh, gosh. Took my son, who's never done anything crazy, and we climbed Angel's Landing, which I don't know if anybody out there in the tribe has heard of Angel's Landing or done Angel's Landing, but it's a pretty treacherous hike up a steep hill where you have to hold on to like metal chains while you go up. So I would say doing that.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure that ties into your hobby or interest outside of being the CEO and CFO of Turner Fleischer. And Tribe, I love having someone that has both of those titles. And so when people kind of get into the money questions and the questions about how do you make this happen, I love your answer of tell how you talk to the CEO and CFO and give us that kind of story. And then for the listeners who have not listened to previous episodes, tell us again what Turner Fleischer is all about.
Sure. So Turner Fleischer is located up in Toronto, Canada, and we're 47 years old. And we specialize in architecture and interior design. And I've been at the company 32 years. And as Devin said, I've got the title of CEO and CFO, and people always ask me, how do you do things like embedding a culture of learning, and how do you create a digital practice, and how do you do all those things? And my answer is, well, because I am the CEO and the CFO, I get to have an idea, and then I get to ask myself if I can have the money to make that idea a reality.
Awesome. So can you describe what you're speaking about here at Digital Built Week?
Sure. So today we spoke about really who's responsible is it for teaching once formal education ends. And as I said, we believe that it's us. And so we shared our story of how we've created a really deep culture of learning within our studio and what we're doing next, because we're not done yet.
Awesome. So let's start unpacking this and talk about the journey of growing your firm to 243 team members, if I got the notes right from the presentation you just gave. And what are your core values that made this possible when I'm hearing a lot of other people talking about how they're not even able to hire, let alone 100 people recently?
Yeah, well, what I feel is we had the infrastructure in place. And when we thought that the pandemic, we were going to actually have to lay people off, we went back to 2008 in my mind really quickly and started to make plans for that. And then business just kept coming in and we were able to pivot to working fully from home and providing the same great service to our clients and the same quality of work, even though that we had at that point about 150 individual offices. And so as the pandemic continued, we just got busier and busier and kept winning work and needed more people. And before we knew it, we were 100 more. And it really just kind of happened like that. I woke up one day and I was like, wow, how'd this happen?
Well, I commend you. I mean, it's hard to manage that much growth so quickly. Like, how did you manage that?
Well, so we knew before the pandemic that at 140 to prep for growth, we needed to put some infrastructure in place that we didn't already have. So I brought a CTO in. That was my first sort of hire. And we put some operations teams in that we didn't have before. We actually never had HR. We grew to that size without really, we didn't have an operations department. And so we put all that in place, which then again helped us really onboard and bring in that many more people into the studio.
Wow. And so I'm now going to put some documentation where I was front and center of your presentation to kind of tee up some talking tracks around your presentation. And one of the things that the notes that I wrote down was that 52% of your firm is between the ages of 24 and 35. with the other 48% split between the rest of the age demographics. How do you promote collaboration between different age demographics?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And it's one that's really on the minds of everybody today in this new world of working. But one of the ways that we do it is with this cross-collaborative learning. And so giving the opportunity for, I call them the greens and the grays. So the greens to teach the grays all of this great digital work that they're doing, and the grays to teach the greens the ins and outs of the profession. Because quite honestly, people entering our industry now don't have time to gather knowledge. They need it right now and fast. Projects need it. And they themselves, the different generations, they want to move in their careers much faster. When we were coming up, we took our time. They want to get to the next level really quickly. And so that's really where, you know, teaching comes into play.
The colors that you're putting there, I think about, you know, green lights, red lights. And last night at I was talking with Moritz, and he and I kind of had this epiphany with each other, and we're talking, and he's like, what? It ended up being like, well, I'm a mentee and a mentor, and like this convergence, right? Of going, I mean, I don't have much hair left, and I'm becoming gray right in front of me as I'm at these conferences where I'm becoming, trying to figure out who's training who here, right? And so the greens and the grays really resonated to me in how you learn and how we're always be learning together, which is one of our core values in the Art of Construction, is always be learning. And I think there's a lot of resemblance to that, right?
Absolutely. So, everybody is teaching everybody else. And that's what makes it so rich. And that's what makes it such a great experience at all levels of our studio.
Yeah. And being a lifelong learner and being in the audience, that's where I love to be able to, when I was watching you and Steve just present, I took a lot of time to look over as you were pointing out the people in the crowd that you're proud leaders. And then I kept looking at them, and like there are certain times they would just be smiling ear to ear of like how engaged they are. And Tribe, I can't tell you how important that is of the trainer, right? And so you also have employees from all over the world in your firm, right? And at the presentation, I heard you kind of talking about how to learn through the computer screen, but also like not forgetting where we came from and where we're going. Can you talk about the diversity there and what kind of value that brings?
Absolutely. So we believe very strongly that no matter where you're from, where your education was from, if you're an architect or an interior designer, anywhere in the world, you can be one in Canada. And a lot of people won't give people an opportunity if they don't have practical experience. But it's that old, you know, how do you get experience if you can't get a job? We'll hire anybody that has the right qualifications and we feel will fit our culture, and then we'll teach them. And so that's part of how we curate our courses in the academy, is to give them opportunities to learn construction methodologies that we use in Canada that they may not have used wherever it was that they moved to Canada from. And same thing with processes and building codes. And we'll provide them all of that learning so that they can hit the ground running.
Yeah. So when you say the word teaching, you have really branded teaching as TF Academy or Turner Fleischer Academy, right? And so how has it evolved since you launched it, if I understood it right, was in 2019 when you really launched this?
2015.
See, that's why we have these conversations where I miss my notes sometimes. But seven times for the first time, we'll get it. So TF Academy it started in 2015. What new trainings do you offer and how do you conduct them? Which is kind of the question around what I just got to learn about the different buckets that you presented to the group.
Sure. So TF Academy, we're now in our 22nd term since 2015, and it's grown and it's evolved over time. It started with two courses. We just had this idea we were going to teach two courses, and now we offer about 7 to 8 courses a term, and those are really in depth, talking about practical architectural or interior design skills that are essential to the practice. And those happen once a month, and they happen for an hour and a half. And then we have workshops, which have a very small group of people, 4 people, 6 people, hands-on learning how to draw a detail, how to design a unit, how to construction methodologies, what are they? So really intense. And those happen a few more times during a term. And then we have electives, and they can happen once, twice, And they're really on a wide variety of topics. They're practice related topics, but there's also a very, very deep health and wellness portion to the academy as well. So over the years, we've realized we needed to have different types of opportunities for people to learn different topics.
Yeah, it's the whole health and wealth brought into all of it. That's what I really felt in the presentation when it was like the slide on the motorcycles and the, but also like the detailing, but also the trainer of like shadowing and all the different stuff, which we all know we need to do all that stuff. And then the kind of the Q&A was like, how do I do this if I'm not big enough or that? And you just start, right? But then you guys have systemized what you do so you can understand the rules of the game. And so how do these trainings intersect with your practice? Are skills learned and then immediately used on these projects?
I think, you know, that's a great question. And it's not necessarily so many hard skills that are learned that they go back and they use them on a project. So much of it is, you know, it's an active learning principle where people are sharing knowledge. And a lot of the time they're sharing knowledge in the form of a story. You know, this was an experience that I had. You know, our partners and associates have lots of years of experience to share. And so through storytelling, people start to really recognize on their own projects when they're at a certain intersection in their project, they can refer back to the story that they heard. And it also helps them create a relationship with people in the studio, because you wouldn't necessarily walk up to a partner and say, you know, hey, Russell, I have a question about this. It's a little intimidating, you know, the person whose name is on the door to ask them. Once they meet in a class, they're much more apt to come up to one of us and ask us a question.
Yeah. And I love the Q&As after your presentation, because that's when a lot of stuff comes to where it's the back and forth conversation. And one of those was about like, well, how do you learn and do people speak up? And it was kind of like one of my aha moments from your presentation was people that are not, they're active listeners, but they may not be active participants. When you kind of get that going, you find people can come out of their shell, but you do it by someone who's really into motorcycles or something else to like help flow that into better architecture. That's what I felt from your presentation.
Absolutely. Because anybody can teach a course. And Devin is referring to the motorcycle, because we have a studio member who's an avid motorcyclist and teaches motorcycle safety and training. And she wanted to share that with the studio. And so she's teaching an elective in the academy. And it's a great place for her to share her passion, but also for people to get to know her. And when you get to 243 people, it's really hard to know your colleagues. And especially because we're in this hybrid scenario, you might not have actually met them in person. So it really gives a great opportunity for people to share and meet. And the other thing that's really important to us, It's top down. And I think that to be successful at anything that you do, you got to have buy-in right from the top, an authentic buy-in. And so all of my partners, myself, we attend classes, and every semester I get excited about different classes to attend. So we're in that with the staff, and we're asking questions and we're listening and we're learning from the questions that staff are asking. And so we're all in this together. It's not a program that we're saying, oh, you need it, but we don't need it.
Yeah, 100%. And the buy-in, and that was one of the conversations that at the end of your presentation was like, how do you get people to attend? And it's like, lead by example is what I heard you say. It's like there's one of your new presentations that you were missing today. And like, I could feel that you were like, I'm really bummed that I'm not there, but my team understands why I'm not there. But you like, you really wanted to be there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's our bibliotherapy, and it's an incredible elective that we have. And it was at 12 o'clock today and we were here, and I was like, oh, wow, I haven't missed bibliotherapy in 2 years. This feels odd.
Which is one of the things we're now having to get used to, right? Like, it's such a joy to be here with you. But then I had to realize, wow, I had to leave all this other stuff that I, for the last couple of years, we didn't do, right? This is my first conference. And so what kind of style do you promote, like remote or in the office or both? And how does the technology you use impact the work style, especially as we're saying we're now back out of COVID and learning from that period?
Yeah, it's a struggle. We've been through about, you know, a dozen iterations of hybrid return to work, this plan, that plan, the other plan. And right now we're actually, we don't really have a plan. And so leadership is in the studio. Most typically we're there 5 days. Managers and project managers have to be there a minimum of 3 days. We really feel for that guidance and that, you know, learning that happens spontaneously by being around people and hearing them. And then staff can choose. And some people come in 5, some people come in 4, some people come in 1. One is pretty much the minimum, but we're really just kind of seeing if that can work and not have to force any type of situation on anybody.
I think that's smart. And I think that's, we're going to look back and say it's forever change. You have to set rules of the game, but the rules have to be set by lead by example and kind of how we can all best work together and shift that, especially the size and who does what of what's the best way to thoughtfully get shit done.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the,
yeah. But it also comes back to owning your own development. And that was another question that happened in the Q&A that we always get, you know, does staff get paid time to attend the academy?
Right.
And the answer is no. And, you know, the teachers get time to create the content, but the staff volunteer their time to attend. And they're, you know, the sessions are 8 o'clock to 9:30 in the morning or 5:30 to 7 at the end of the day. So they need to commit the time. We want people to attend who really want to learn. We'll provide the platform and you come thirsty to learn. If you're there just because you're getting paid to be there, that's not really the true intention of what 100%. We want. And I sort of feel that way about the hybrid situation. We just renovated our studio. Our new studio is incredibly beautiful and healthy and sustainable and digital. And if you want to come, there's a lot going on there. And you know, we're there, leadership is there, and come learn with us. But if you want to stay home and it works better for you, that option's available to you as well.
Yeah, 100%. And that's living the core values, right? Like, so you provide real benefits that fit the people that work together. And that's what I've really learned from Turner Fleischer. Has your digital process and tools, how have they evolved since we last spoke?
Oh, wow. Incredibly. incredibly. Without what we had going before the pandemic, we were able to transition everybody home within 5 days. But since then, we've brought in a CTO, and our digital team has grown to, I believe we just hired our 11th member. And so continuing with our innovation and research and development, and we've got a full-time software developer now, we've got a computational designer, all of these people to help not only enhance our own workflows, but to help our projects and our project teams.
Yeah. And at the presentation, you put those people to the process and really connect those different things when we talk about this whole thing about connection. And then with that connection of the people and the process, I want you to kind of talk through one of my big takeaways was the different learning styles. And you talk about the difference between passive and active learning and how that applies to Turner Fleischer.
Yeah, we really, and initially when we started, it was definitely more of a passive learning approach. We thought, you know, we'd give you content and you'd look at it. And we even thought about having tests afterwards. And now it's active learning. People are learning from each other. And so the teachers are sharing their experience and their knowledge, but the people that are attending the classes through the questions that they're asking and their own experiences that they're sharing, you know, it's bi-directional. Everybody's learning from everybody else.
Which is exciting, but I guess it also could be a little bit scary if on the onboarding process, if you're coming in, if everybody's learning from everybody. Can you describe your onboarding process for new employees and how do you first get them to be involved in this process?
Absolutely. It's something that we go through in the interview process. And TF Academy is something that we talk about right in the interview stage, for sure in the offer call stage. And I said it today, and I always say this, if you have a fixed mindset, we are really an annoying company to work for. those are the people that really typically don't last because we're always looking to get better. We can always get better. There's always something to learn. I learn something new every day. And so right from day one, they get onboarded to all of the programming that we have. We give them a lot of time. They meet with somebody from the academy. They meet with somebody from our intranet, our learning, like everything before they actually start project work. So they get to know who we are and what our priorities are.
I love that. And so one of the things that excited me that I wrote down, have you you have a position called the knowledge manager. What is that all about?
Yeah. So knowledge management is a fast growing, in all businesses, not just our industry. And there's actually, you can go to school to become a knowledge management specialist. And so how do you manage all the knowledge in your company, and how do you share knowledge, not only through technology? So how do they work on, how do we connect software and how do we connect data? That's part of it. But how do we get tacit knowledge from my partners who are, you know, thinking about retiring? How do we get that knowledge out? So the more that you look around, which is why when I was showing the presentation, Marco has this great spider web of everything is connected to everything else. He's a two-person department now. We're definitely looking to hire a third person, and it's knowledge is literally everywhere, and it's fascinating once you start really diving into it, and it's powerful.
Yeah. And so I heard it, and I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this like, wow. And I raised my hand and say, I've kind of been there too. It's like, how do you get to what they're doing? Right. And so what do you say to that company who thinks they're too small to implement this kind of training courses that you offer?
Absolutely. I mean, I say this about everything. Start small. Start with one. If you've got, you know, 10 people, you've got, you know, person number 10 who could learn something that person number 5 knows, and it doesn't matter. And just start with one thing that you want to teach and then grow it. Because as you see the impact to not only your people, your product, your deliverables, the quality, which then extends into your client relationships, which then extends into growing your business, it's all connected. And so instead of being afraid to start and afraid that you have to have something huge, is just start small and take that initial chance, and then it'll happen.
I love that. But what you focus on will grow. So you have to focus. And then when you get in the focus thing, then the money thing comes up, right? Because the art of construction, the undertone is we're in the art of moving money, right? And I think that's your other presentation of like timesheets and money and this whole cycle, right? And so I've always been fascinated and see you as one of my mentors with the CEO, CFO hats. And I guess technically I'm kind of that. My business card, I think, says informational entrepreneur, because I've always struggled because I'm like just this lifelong learner, but I'm the owner of the company too, right? So you have to have good people that can manage the money and the creativity and getting shit done, right? The question I always love your talking tracks around, how do you measure the ROI of trainings?
Yeah.
Or do you?
No. You can't. You can't tangibly measure it in a dollar value. You can measure it in happiness. You can measure it in, you know, people that like to come to work, that are developing their careers, that are getting better. Again, like I said, in our deliverables getting better, our client service. That's how we grew to need 100 more people. We're doing great work for our clients because we've got great committed people who are getting better every day, and there is. It's a feeling. You know it. When you see it happening, you know it. And if I had to, you know, if I was, somebody asked me, you know, you must tell me what is my monetary savings because you're costing me a lot of money by putting an infrastructure like this in place. You can't. And that's where a lot of people fall short, because a lot of companies want them to give that dollar value savings. And it's not tangible in money, but it's tangible in absolutely every other way.
100 people more in your firm since last time. You can't tell me the money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah.
And so that, let's be real about it, to say like the proof is in the pudding, what you've done. And so I call it the customer care wheel or the customer success. And that's what Greg Leung talked about, is at the end of the day, it's you got to be what is the for the customer, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're providing creative services, you better be able to provide something to the customer that they're happy. And that's at the end of the day. And feeling is a very big thing on creating good architecture to turn the build with a D to the built with a T.
Yes.
Because a lot of stuff doesn't get built with a T that we call system built. And so I guess, how does it feel to be back at Digital Built Week since a couple years, you know, we've met and then it all kind of stopped. And, you know, What would you say to people that haven't come back to the event circuit, and why are events like this so important from your point of view?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, sharing our story today was incredible. You know, watching the people in the audience and hearing their questions and just being able to help share something that somebody can take back to their company and go, hey, maybe we can do something different. And that's really what it's all about. And you know, attending all the sessions here and learning from others, we all get stuck in our little silos of our offices and our work, and we get focused. And during the pandemic, boy, did we ever get, you know, stuck and focused.
Totally, yeah.
And so getting back out here, it's just like a breath of fresh air to just be able to go like, hey, what have you been working on? What have you been working on? And let's share some knowledge with each other so that we can all help elevate an industry that, you know, on one hand really needs elevation, and on the other hand is full of a lot of really great, smart, creative people that want to do better. And so being here in person just allows that.
Yeah, that's so profound. As I'm looking at the Autodesk sign next to us, and when they spoke this morning, it was kind of like, it was some kind of bumper sticker or something. It was like, BIM, is BIM dead? Or yeah, like some, like this whole thing of, but the last 2 years forced focus on things that I think may needed more focus to now come out and reset certain parts of this. When you look at the massive problem in front of us, I think it forces us when we get together to think about that as a group effort into our own swim lanes when we're down in the computer all day long.
Well, yeah, and that's how we get better as an industry. We don't get better staying in our own lane. We get better doing this collaboratively and doing it with each other and sharing. We've all had 2 years to innovate, but we're not sharing what we're innovating. And now we're here and we have the opportunity to tell each other what we've been doing and to go back to our companies at the end of the week and go, hey, I learned a bunch of things. Let's see, how can we integrate this into what we're already doing and do it even better?
Yeah, I love it. And these events force you to move into the passing lane because it's extra effort and you have to make compromises to where you're missing the, what was the lesson?
Bibliotherapy.
The bibliotherapy, which I didn't even know that term today, but I learn all these things that now I may go back to my team and say, let's look at that. And when you step into the passing lane, guess what, tribe? You're passing others who are either you're growing or dying. And Turner Fleischer is growing by leaps and bounds in a great way. And so I just wanted to pause and stop and say, tribe, take the time to get out in the passing lane, but bring people along with you, right? And that's what I see, Ellen. You're such a great leader of bringing people along with you to be all be inspired together, right? So thank you for coming back and third podcast. I think you might be the first one that we've done three podcasts with here on The Art of Construction as we're closing in on almost 300 of these.
That's amazing.
And, you know, again, credit to Digital Bill Week that has really believed in us and our story of these, you know, it's this conference like this, it's this little engine that could. These people just refuse to lose. And they just work so hard to bring all of these ideas to life. And somebody has to do that hard work. And somebody has to do the training. And as we always ask, and maybe I'll have my editing team go back and challenge you, because the days are long and the years are short. And I've asked this question on every podcast, and I did this very specifically as we grow this thing and spend the 10,000 hours owning our craft. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Oh, wow. Crystal ball with technology and construction. I just really believe that the next, it's data. It's just understanding our data and getting better at everything we do by analyzing data within our models, within our projects, within the way that we work, leveraging that, I believe, is going to be the next big focus for sure for us.
So as we're at Data Day at Digital Built Week, and all the pre-interviews we did for Digital Built Week, they were all managed around kind of the BIM conversation. But it was fascinating when we, you know, Brian Mackey and Carl Storms and these people that have been living the building informational modeling for a long time, they're saying the same thing. They're saying it's just about the information and kind of like almost like reverse engineering this thing to say, like, know how to use an Excel document and then go do all this crazy, awesome, cool stuff and understand how we're sitting next to the wild booth with virtual reality that just got acquired by Autodesk to understand how is all this information shared? So I couldn't agree more. That's the word. It's like information and engineering and putting that stuff together with all of these humans and robots to automate this stuff, which you've hired a lot more humans, but I can only imagine how much data is being processed with your systems of lifelong learners.
Definitely. And that's where knowledge management comes in. That's where digital experts come in is really, and that's what I get excited about every day. They're connecting things and they're pulling data and throwing it into Power BI and analyzing it. And we're using what do we need to teach? Well, we can look at how people are using Revit. We can pull the data out and know exactly how they're using it or not using it well to determine what training actually do they need. So just really, really.
And it was inspiring. Like this morning when Autodesk spoke, it was about trying to open up those data streams.
Yeah, everybody's opening up backends, and you can pull data from everything, which is really amazing to see. Because, you know, if it weren't that way, we wouldn't be able to do nearly as much as we do. My finance team works with my digital team. We pull information from our ERP software out into Power BI and analyze it. We've got, you know, Revit connected to that, connected to this. And it's, I mean, Brent, my CTO, he does this in his sleep. It's just data. And every morning he's like, I got another dashboard and let's look at it this way. And what can we learn from all of the data and all of the connections? And again, for me, it's all rooted in, so then how can we get better?
Love it. And the final question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about? And specifically, as we're here back in this conference, to go out there as we're hopefully coming out of COVID and getting events back going, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I think always asking questions, always being curious, always seeing what are other people doing, and how can you dream big about where you want your company to go and your work to go and your people to go. It's the whole package. And so getting back out there into the world, it's just an opportunity to be curious.
Awesome. Ellen, we're so proud of you and be part of this story of these touch points of these different years. As some of those days have been long lately, but boy, the years have been short. But thank you for coaching us all and having as much fun as possible along the way.
Oh, thanks, Devin. Thanks for having me again. I Trifecta is awesome and hope to be here for many more years.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.